if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
Country, and Video Games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 371 of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm back this week.
Yay!
Not having to kick the server repeatedly. Turns out, Eden wasn't that receptive to me repeatedly kicking it, so I thought, sod it, I'm going to podcast this week. I'm joined, as usual, by Coleman.
Hi!
And Timothy.
Hi!
But on a serious behind the curtains note, we do realise the website is having some issues, quote-unquote, at the moment. We are working very hard to get them fixed, and I hope we're going to be able to modernise things a little bit around BRB Towers in an untoo-distant future. Now, bearing in mind that's coming from a middle-aged bloke saying the word modernised, you know, you read into that what you will. But, you know, it will certainly be... things look a little fresher, work a little better, and hopefully that should be fairly soon.
Yeah, thanks to problems with the current website, it's forced us into doing the kind of revamp of the website that we've been trying to do for, I'd say, about 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, exactly. So you know those jobs, like, you know, that sneak up on you that you keep putting off, like, you know... Yeah, I should do the dishes. Oh, I can't be
really trim my nose tomorrow.
Yeah, I should really do that. And you've got a sentient set of pots and pans that have developed a new form of life that are crawling across the kitchen. And Coleman's got a moustache crafted solely from his nasal hair. We're at that point where it's like, really, we should sort that out, shouldn't we?
I mean, it sounds impressive, but it's very hard to breathe.
Should probably put that forest fire out.
Yeah.
The website's about to have a midlife crisis and will look well lit.
Exactly. It's going to be cruising about town in a Porsche Boxster with its lime green in colour and being complete denial that it makes it look like a complete dickhead.
Bald at the front, ponytail at the back.
Damn straight. Damn straight. Anywho.
Video games.
Video games. Chaps.
Chaps.
As we all know, the PS5 is incoming.
What?
Incoming.
This is news
incoming
to me.
Incoming PS5.
I've never heard such things. Where do you get these rumors?
Okay, right. Let's wind this back. Okay, PlayStation, heard of that?
Right, yes.
Okay, PlayStation 2, heard of that?
PlayStation the second, yep.
Yeah, okay, can you see what's coming next? Have a guess.
PlayStation 3, Electric Boogaloo.
PlayStation the third.
Yeah, PlayStation 3, Electric Boogaloo, and then there's PlayStation 4.
How PlayStation got its groove back.
Exactly, and now there's PlayStation 5.
That's going to be, if we go by Rocky lore, this is going to be the worst one.
Well, if the images of the dev kits are any inclination of what the final hardware is going to look like, you know, the way... Okay, so dev kits for consoles often look extremely different to the final product, and that's to be expected. Well, like, the original Xbox dev kit was essentially a tower PC. The dev kit for the Wii is a big black box where it's a little svelte white thing in real life. And, well, the current look... for the PlayStation 5, which, you know, it's V-shaped, so that's the Roman numeral of 5, so okay, that works, I guess.
Didn't even work that out.
it's a big V-shaped box that looks really quite ugly, and it looks like a robotic... No, I can't even think how really describe what it looks like. It looks basically just not great. It's massive.
It looks
a bit like Johnny Five's head.
I was thinking like an 80s PC is flipping you the V's.
Or it looks like, actually, a fitness device. It's got the kind of aesthetic that a fitness device that you've bought off TV shopping looks like.
Yes. If it had some sort of video playing functionality built into it for some reason.
Yeah, so, but anyway, images of the PS5 dev kit have been released in the wild. I think the more interesting thing is it actually confirms the form factor of the DualShock 5 controller, which is sans light bar, which goes along with patents for for the DualShock 5 controller, and has a USB-C port in the top of it. So, you know, iterative changes, but it's nice to see them nonetheless. But a load of people are up in arms going, oh, it's so ugly, it's so fugly, I don't like it, why does it look like that? It's a dev kit, get a hold of yourself.
So these images, I think someone drew a sketch of the dev kit probably about a month ago, and people were like, this looks ridiculous. This is clearly a made-up thing. And then someone higher up had gone, yes, this is one of the PlayStation 5 dev kits. That's what it looks like. Now someone has leaked photos of the dev kits, and then Tom Warren, who works for The Verge, he confirmed that these are the dev kits. He has seen them in the wild and said that the reason they look like this is because it has extra vents and it's built for stacking for stress testing.
Makes sense.
Exactly. And clearly, they're non-final hardware. They haven't got all... I mean, one of the most difficult things in a modern console, anyone who's turned on a PS4 will know that that thing sometimes sounds like it's going to take off.
Yep.
It can get a bit noisy, and this is a way... You know, the reason why dev kits are a bit bulkier is because they haven't optimized that side of things yet. So, you know, there's a lot of, cooling overhead. They need to basically be assured to run rather than run in the final way they would like them to in terms of kind of thermal envelope and that kind of stuff. And also, the dev kit's got extra bits and bobs that the final one won't have, including it looks like it's got a little OLED screen on one side of it, presumably showing debugging info, which the Xbox One S dev kit also
Project
has as
Scorpio
well.
Project Scorpio had that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Orbis had that as well, if I remember rightly.
And, I mean, that's not... Nothing too surprising, really. I mean, there's some slight wishful thinking in terms of what people are hoping might be in the DualShock, the final version of the DualShock 5, because although these are, again, dev kits with what looks like a refreshed version of the DualShock attached to them, the final version of the DualShock that ships with the system may be very different. So all the PS4 dev kits actually had DualShock, an adapted DualShock 3 on them.
I mean, reports from early impressions of people that have actually used the current version of DualShock 5, it seems to be thicker hand grips and a bit heavier.
So probably more to suit the Western audience, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the other rumours that are abound is that the final version of the DualShock 5 may actually contain a screen where the touchpad is.
Yeah, I've heard that rumour for a little bit. I quite like that idea as well. I think that would be have much better usage than the actual just general touch button, basically. You can see much better cases for that, no?
For the purposes of backwards compatibility, I assume that would be the touchpad with a clickable, you know, that can be used as a clickable button. The idea of a clickable screen, that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be anything other than kind of like you can with the current touchpad, you know, very broad strokes, imprecise input, I think is all you could really do with it. But, you know, it would make a lot of sense to have like an OLED screen. There you could show your friends list or your messages, or games could use it as a second display if ever that becomes a thing again. But yeah, so PS5. Dev kit looks fugly. In other news, all dev kits tend to look a bit fugly. So,
yeah, that has been a whole spate of people putting up various pictures of different dev kits throughout the years on Twitter throughout the week, basically.
Was it the Xbox 360 or was it the Xbox where it was just a big X? Big silver... I think that was the original Xbox, wasn't it? There was a big silver and green X.
I think that was a design concept they were shooting for.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't think it was ever actually built. But although I do think someone actually built an Xbox into that shape to mimic that at some point in the future. But I don't think it was ever a workable idea as a commercial product sort of thing. Or envisaged as that, basically.
Dev kit's ugly. Non-final hardware. Don't get your knickers in a twist. Or any other underpants in a twist. Or anything else you might wear on the lower half of your body. I don't know. Just chill. It's fine. It's fine. Everything is fine.
Oh, it's an Xbox prototype. It's very beautiful.
Anywho, there's a new YouTube policy that doesn't involve banning Trump or conservative election advertisements, and it actually is one that eases up on video game violence.
Yeah, I found this interesting because we've reported on stuff like the whole YouTubergeddon, adpocalypse and YouTubergeddon and all the kind of stuff that we had trouble with YouTube early on, where, you know, we were trying to get our videos out there and we ended up with a load of copyright strikes and stuff because of video game footage, which that was eased up on. And over the years, with this whole kind of climate, or especially in the US, where they are very committed to, hey, video games incite violence, here's a bunch of video games from about 12 years ago to prove our point. There's
hey, but at least they haven't banned those guns, right?
That's right. And I mean, you know, believe what you want. It's But YouTube, they've announced that, well, they wrote in a blog post that there's going to be a harsh difference between violence and simulated violence, video game violence in particular. And with all the trouble that people that make their living through YouTube, especially through video games, which is a very large market, I think that's a little bit of a win for them finally. It's they've been screwed over in a lot of ways with ads and things.
Yeah, I mean, ads on YouTube are just ridiculous these days. It really is quite ridiculous.
Have you noticed the recent thing? If you don't skip the first ad and you let it play through, it'll play a second ad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's really annoying.
I mean, the other thing to just be careful is this shouldn't be conflated with an acceptance of a depiction of violence that then gets shown to young kids.
No, not at all.
And I don't think we're saying that at all. I think they would still be flagged as, we think this content is appropriate for the following ages. And I think that's a fair compromise.
Yeah, I mean, there's elements in video games. I mean, there's shooting in video games, which is a little bit cartoony at the end of the day. We're not at that stage where it's realistically terrifying. But then when you play something like Mortal Kombat, the most recent Mortal Kombat, there is a ridiculous amount of gore in that game. Yeah. And it is very cartoony. But there are certain things in that game that make me go, I need to stop playing for a bit.
That's a bit over the top.
This has broken my soul.
Yeah. And, I don't have kids of my own.
That you know of.
That I know of, right?
Lads.
Can we stop this bit of conversation? Because this is all going to go very weird very quickly, I've got a feeling.
Bants.
Bail. Bail.
Eject. Abort. Abort.
Hello,
so,
Father.
God.
It's me, your son, Roderick.
For a start, I wouldn't call him Roderick, okay?
Roderick Bartholomew Gibbons, yeah?
Oh, well, Bartholomew's in there. It's probably Barnaby might. Barnaby might feature in
your
there.
Your mother, much job maintenance. Otherwise, you'll be hearing from our lawyers and eating my dust.
And I probably upgrade his surname to a Fitzgibbon as well, which means son of Gibbons. So, it's only right. I think there's a bit of old school aristocracy we need to, reinforce in this world because, hey, goodness knows the Tories haven't done enough of that, right?
Oh, no, we've gone political. Get back to video games.
I was being sarcastic, listeners. Violence. I've never voted for Conservatives in my life, by the way. That may surprise many of you. Yeah, what were we on about? I can't remember.
Your illegitimate son.
I would, and I think we've talked about this before, where we kind of, it's obviously the parent's choice, but I do and are about, I've seen, 11, 12-year-old kids, possibly even younger than that, being bought a copy of, say, GTA 5 by their mum or dad. And it's kind of really, I honestly, no, that's not, it's their call at the end of the day, but I think that's probably a bit hardcore in terms of the themes and that are presented in that game.
But see, I don't know about you, I don't stand in video game shops as much anymore, but the amount of times I did and I'd stand there and go, you really should not be buying that if that's the kid of the age that you're giving it to. And that's clearly what's happening. So you really shouldn't be doing.
Well, even outside of that, we've all played an online game and gone, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah. But can you imagine how much that happens when it's all just online purchases or, buying from Amazon and stuff? Like, that's probably even more prevalent these days. No, I would have thought.
Yeah, but I mean, I think... As someone who delivers content, as YouTube does, I do think they do have a little bit of responsibility to just do the, hey, are you sure you want to view this? Or, hey, are you sure this is the right content? I think that's fine. I mean, I think just as long as it doesn't ever get into the realms of, outright censorship.
Well, that's the slight difference here. Like, the easing up on this is obviously generally good news and on the video game side and stuff, and them, I don't have a problem with them age gating it. I don't think that's quite what they're doing, but generally age restricting it on account basis, as I'm assuming that probably won't entirely shield everyone from that sort of content obviously, and also, I don't know, it's more my bigger problem with things like YouTube and their policies and their influence is more the kind of algorithms they're using and whether that means this content will get buried, and then that gets into the realm of censorship of what content get buried. Is it like violence is one thing, but then do you get like serious video games or things that people would find offensive from a video game getting, like, you know, not as highly shown in their through their algorithms and then being shown and fronted up to audiences and stuff. And you've already seen them do that with news content a bit on YouTube. Things tend to get demonetized if they're talking about sensitive subjects that their advertisers won't like so much. And yeah, like that's, I don't know, when you are a big platform holder, that gets into some weird sort of general societal decisions being made by an individual company, and I'm at odds with, you know, exactly what the solution is to that. And yeah, like, as I said, generally good news if they're easing up on this, and as I said, it's been a bad time for YouTubers and stuff, so that's a good bit of news for them at the moment, I guess.
I mean, I just hope, I mean, as you said, Lacanal, the top of the section talking about this, just as I really just hope it doesn't get turned around and spun into something negative here, which, you know, knowing what the media is like and knowing the election cycles that we're about to embark on, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
I think a lot of YouTube policies need to calm down, because whenever they introduce something, what happens is there's a big hoo-ha about it. Everyone, you know, everyone gets annoyed because a bunch of their videos get demonetized or they get deplatformed or this kind of stuff. Yeah. And then over time, people just work their ways around these different restrictions put upon them. I know there's now people that will use sound effects. We do the same on some of our shows on Big Red Barrel. Use sound effects to bleep out swear words instead of the...
What the f*** are you f***ing talking about?
instead of that bleep.
I will not
because,
be f***ing censored, you f***.
Because now YouTube, they detect on the algorithm detects that bleep, and then it demonetizes the content because there's swear words in there. There's implied swear words in there. So they now cover up that bleep by not using it anymore. it's funny.
But I mean, we've always done that for our shows to generally give us the freedom to swear, but then also, you know, make it more accessible by having that bleeped out, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just do it because it was funny.
But yeah, as I said, generally good news, but I don't think that's the biggest thing to worry about and the biggest problem on the side of things anyway, basically. But yeah, we'll see.
The biggest news is we're in December and we're running out of news.
Running out of games.
And that. We've run out of all the big releases now.
It's weird not having a really big release in like sort of late to mid-December, though. No, not like a big AAA
game. I'm not
going
to lie, I quite like it. It means I can actually catch up with some of the stuff I've meant to play all year.
And my wallet is happy. My everlasting thirst for games is not.
Yeah, but it's because games aren't a good way to quench thirst. That's actually right. You need water, Tim.
It tastes terrible.
Right. Especially for should have come to a doctor for some advice on my gaming.
Damn straight, you big hairy idiot. Of course that's what you should have done.
Should we do some points of interest?
Yes.
Why not?
These are parts of the news that aren't important enough to be in the headlines, but they're still important, so we call them points of interest.
Interest my points.
All right, so Campo Santo, you remember they got picked up by Valve last year?
Certainly did.
No, or the year before?
Well, and they got picked up by Valve.
They got picked up by Valve.
They were loitering around a street corner. Valve took a shine to them.
Yeah, so Campo Santo, they did Firewatch. It was very well received. Their follow-up game was announced at the Game Awards 2017 called Valley of Gods, and people got very excited for it, myself included. And now they have announced that Valley of Gods is now on hold.
Oh.
Because now they are a Valve studio. That means they've got to work on Half-Life, Alyx, and some other games as well before.
Do you know what I secretly hope they're going to do with this game? At the moment, it's about the Valley of the Gods is in Egypt. I really hope they do an about-face and they make it about whales.
The country or the mammal?
As in the valleys.
Oh, okay.
Valleys of Wales.
The Valleys of Wales is what I would like to see, where you're I don't know, insert cultural stereotype here, make a game out of it, I don't know. But I just think it'd be a nice change of pace rather than, you know, mysterious temples and you know, pyramids in Egypt, which has been done to bloody death. Let's have a good, honest game about life in the Welsh valleys.
With this sort of creative energy wasted as a doctor.
I know, right?
Yeah, you can't be creative as a doctor. That is That's a great a bad idea. Place to be creative.
I love it.
What you need to do is get out and get into the games industry.
That's what I need to get. Job, mate.
Yep.
If you're listening, video game industry is job.
If you are listening, last week we spoke about Resident Evil 3 as a rumour.
Yep.
Yes.
A remake are following on from the very successful Resident Evil 2 remake, which if you've not played, I recommend that game. It looks like it's an actual thing that's going on. So GameStat.com, they go through different data on PSN to build up like trophy lists and stuff. One of the things they do is they run through PSN's API and they can see the new games that are going to be announced on PlayStation Network when they're added on. And apparently this is all preloaded and ready to go. Resident Evil 3 Nemesis Remake, along with the other game that I've forgotten the name of, but we already know about that one. They've added artwork for the game, and it's on there. So it looks like we're going to get an announcement pretty damn soon.
Huzzah! They kind of have to now, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, there's redesigns on the artwork for Nemesis, Jill, and Carlos, and I don't know how I feel about... I mean, I can give a stuff how the humans look, but Nemesis is a bit different. They've given him a nose, which is odd, and they've the skin originally was like two flaps over his face that were stapled together. Now it's like one smooth hood of skin.
Like a head foreskin is what you say.
He is looking very much more phallic.
A head foreskin.
Than previous.
I'm going to say that again because you might edit it out, head foreskin.
I'm going to edit it out every time you say it.
What, head foreskin?
That's the one. So
head foreskin.
So it looks like rumors are true. Resident Evil 3 remake should be in the works, possibly next year. I'm wondering if we're going to see Resident Evil 2 remake in some people's Game of the Years, and then Resident Evil 3 Nemesis remake in some people's Game of the Years.
Terms of game mechanics.
Brilliantly, because they're not the same game mechanics.
But there's this kind
of... They changed the game.
But is this a nod of the head in terms of... I mean, we'll talk about Halo Reach later. Some of my concerns I'll talk about later. But, you know, actually, are we moving away from like the HD do-over, the reskins, to actually, oh my god, we actually need to go all the way to the root of this game?
Okay, is this the tipping point and this is now the thing where you remake the game?
It's not just a remaster, isn't just updating the textures, you know, updating a couple of the in-game models. This is actually do the nuts and bolts of these games, do they actually stand muster in kind of modern day gaming?
Well, I think that's kind of the way it's going now, and that was the way I was appreciating it before. We did kind of have these, this is a game we've seen before, and now here's a new take on that game with new mechanics and not just a new shiny HD gloss. And with Shadow of the Colossus last year, I think that was, and then the Resident Evil 2 this year, we got Resident Evil 3 remake possibly next year, along with Final Fantasy 7 remake.
Some Zeldas in there.
I'm really hoping that this is the kind of trend we're going with, rather than if it's a HD gloss along the ways of Link's Awakening on the Switch, from the Game Boy to the Switch, which is basically the same game with new added things, but new updated HD graphics, which isn't just we've made it shiny on HD, we have literally just remade the game, but with the same mechanics. I'm all for that at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, as long as I don't get another sodding Devil May Cry remake recollection on the next set of consoles again, that, you know, they're looking worse and worse each time. I do like this kind of style of this is what a remake should be. You know, I don't like these. It's a bit shinier now.
Yeah,
but yeah. It seems to be the way we're going. We're getting more and more trends like this, and I'm happy with that because, you know, you can really enjoy a game that's been re-released and gone, well, I can't really put that as a game of the year because this came out in 2007. And now we can go, wow, this is true. This is truly a new game. It's based off the old game, but it's a new game. And, you know, it feels like you've got something proper.
In some of the kind of reassuring things we're hearing about kind of the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yes. Which is so good. I can't wait to play that game.
Very good. Yeah. Well, yeah, the demo was very good, no?
I can't wait to play that full game.
Mm.
Good times.
Yep, that's going to be good.
Good times. But talking about rehashing and reheating old stuff.
Yep.
I got so excited and then really upset at the same time. Hey, do you guys remember Starship Troopers?
I remember that. I remember watching that in a cinema in Bristol. In 1997.
I remember.
Or might be 1996.
I remember being way too young to watch that film and seeing some Bristols. 1997's Starship Troopers. Would you like
They were Bristols. I will give you that. They were Bristols.
Would you like a video game set in the same universe as 1997's Starship Troopers?
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know? Very good, Tim. Good reference. I mean, I have to say, I do applaud them for their trailer because they've really embraced the cheesy B-movie vibe.
Yes.
With it, which is good. And I think Starship Troopers, if it tries to be serious about itself, is in a whole world of trouble.
Yeah, it's
in the wrong
place.
The point of that film. Starship Troopers Terrain Command is coming out in 2020 on PC. It is a tower defense game, which I was like, yes, Starship. And the reason being is there was a very low budget tie-in to Starship Troopers first person shooter released on PC, which check some modding out that makes the game look much better than it was. But it played very well if you had the hardware to run it. But at the same time, they put bugger all budget into it. In fact, I read an interview where one of the developers going, like, we were a team of 5 people and we had to spend all the budget on Casper Van Dien doing voice lines. So, well, money well spent. But I was really hoping, we're going to get a next generation Starship Troopers first person shooter and kind of correct the mistakes. Nah, we're getting a flipping tower defense game.
Of course you do.
Ah, well.
Bet you it's come to mobile as well.
Is this a mobile game that they're going to also put out on the PC?
Yep. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Starship Troopers, there's a new game next year. And lastly this week, Codemasters. We all like Codemasters. And
I love Codemasters.
We all like our driving games.
Vroom, vroom.
You might be impressed to hear that Codemasters acquired the Project Cars developer, Slightly Mad Studios.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ooh. Hold on a minute. Were these the same Slightly Mad Studios who went off on a bit of one saying they were going to release their own console?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, okay. Good, lovely.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, well remembered. They may have forgotten too, but...
Yeah, exactly. Well, their response to it was, don't listen to him. He's just a bit excited about things. He says stuff like this all the time.
That's our new PR representative, Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be discovering yourself in a car is what you're going to be doing.
Imagine a set of wheels.
Yes. You're going on a journey on very much a real but also metaphysical way.
The more you drive forward is, in fact, in reality, the way you revisit the past in going backwards. And that...
You are propelling yourself not only down the road, but through time and through your own personal journey.
Until you finally release at the end your own head into your anus. And that,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen, is Goddess.
Yes.
That was at the centre of the cube.
Yeah. But I actually think, I'm not quite sure how Molyneux ended up in here, but never mind. That I'm actually really excited about this partnership because I think Project Cars 2 was a great sim, but was quite unpolished in a number of ways. The base driving experience of it was good. What wasn't good was the user interface and how you access all the features. And one of the things that Codemasters are really, really good at is
Dizzy the Egg.
They're
really
great
good
at Dizzy the Egg.
Egg platformers.
Exactly. So that's for a perfect match, right?
Yes. Finally.
I mean, if you look at the F1 2019. As a really good example. I mean, there's still quite a good solid sim underneath all of that, but it's all very accessible. And I think Project Cars will do great with a bit of Cody's input, I have to say.
Seems like a good, as you say, a good pairing.
I mean,
I think so.
any kind of driving sim studio seems well at home with Codemasters, although I worry because the guys that worked on a bunch of PS3 exclusive arcade racer titles, they got signed up by Codemasters. They ended up creating Onrush, and
which was really good.
It was a very, very good game, but I think that studio either got downsized and
they did.
Yeah,
it wasn't completely commercially successful.
Demolished. It wasn't a commercial success.
It's a shame.
You can play it on games, Game Pass now, but I really enjoyed that game for what it was. I might revisit that at some point, see if the servers are still running.
See, I really like arcade racing games, but they seem to not do so well on mass sometimes. Like, they seem really odd whether they hit or miss with the general public kind of thing.
Anyway, so along with Slightly Mad Studios, also I wonder if they've just got the studio to get the license, but hey. Slightly Mad Studios, they've now picked up the Project Cars license, as well as an unannounced Hollywood blockbuster title.
Ooh.
Fast and Furious?
What do you reckon?
Fast and Furious?
Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind, though.
James Bond Racing?
Yep.
Frozen 2.
Frozen 2 Kart Racer.
Frozen 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I'm trying really hard not to say that at the end of every sequel. So, yeah.
I'll start saying it instead.
Now you've got me thinking what a Bond racing game could be, and that would be obviously with gadgets and weapons. And there hasn't been a good racing weapon game, like a realistic car weapon game, for a while, basically.
I think a Bond racing game, it as a kind of a concept, sounds really great, but I can guarantee it would be utter arse when it actually came into being.
It sounds like something that should have come out on the original PlayStation.
Did you ever play Full Auto?
I think I did.
Full Auto.
No, Full I didn't. Auto.
Yeah, it was good. I liked that. That was good fun.
Good. If there's anything to take away from this week, Tim likes Full Auto.
Tim loves it.
He loves it.
I know what it is. It's Peter Rabbit 2 The Runaway.
You just looking at upcoming films?
Yeah, a little bit.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Kart Race. Race.
Sonic the Hedgehog movie kart racer.
It's almost already been done. Just not.
Sonic the movie R.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Should we move on?
Yes.
Minions Racing.
Oh, don't. I will end you. What have we done played then, boys?
Well, look, let me get out of the way quickly for a change. I do have a couple of things to mention, but I'll get done fairly quick.
Okay, I see one on the agenda, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say, you're getting, I didn't get one. Much time playing video games. I did, as I was alluding to on last week's podcast, finished Luigi's Mansion 3.
And,
really liked it, but not the strongest finish. But yeah, like, there was some niggling doubts with like the overall game design, but generally moment to moment really good, like really enjoyable and very long and generally delightful, so worth playing. And I still haven't really messed around the multiplayer yet, but yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Did you get that on cartridge or a digital copy?
I got it on cartridge.
So that means Coleman, you can play it soon as well.
Coleman would like to borrow your game.
Yes, you can. But Coleman then, yeah, we'll have to that. Find a way to play some multiplayer either when you come over or something else.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll bring around Death Stranding.
I do recommend it. Hopefully more people pick it up. Oh, I'm not sure that's a fair swap, Coleman. I'm giving you a delightful game of wonderment and you're giving me chores.
To be fair, Tim, if you really want to experience the Death Stranding, the life of Death Stranding, just, you know, strap a load of boxes to yourself and go wandering down the high street.
Did you literally say you're trading wonderment for chores? You literally walk around with a Hoover.
How the video games industry is a shadow of its former self, I tell you.
But yeah, the other thing, I only got a very quick minute with because my motion control things were dying, but I did pick up in the sales, in the Black Friday sales, the one thing I did pick up was L.A. Noire, the VR cases.
And I know Noir.
How much Dan loves me talking about VR.
How much was that in the sales?
I think it was 18 quid in the sales.
Oh, so, not bad.
Not bad. But yeah, early impressions are like, I haven't really got into it. I've just really done the sort of training stuff, and my left hand was dying so much that I couldn't grip the two sides of the steering wheel to actually start driving. So I'm like,
I have a
okay,
question.
I might need to give up now.
No, you don't.
But yeah. Like, very early impressions on that. I'll speak about that in future weeks probably. But yeah, that's all I've really had time to. But I did go to Dragon Meet this week, which was the one thing on the agenda. I won't talk about it at great length.
Did you meet any dragons
anyway? So I did. I took pictures of some of them on my Instagram.
Just ruin that joke.
but then generally, it's anyone doesn't know, it's a London-based board game event, a bit more RPG focused, and there's quite a bit of that going on, but there's enough like board game stuff to keep me interested, and I played a few things throughout the day. I guess the most notable would be Paranormal Detectives, which is kind of like a game where one person has died and is the rest of the group are trying to guess who killed them and how they killed them and where they killed them and all those sorts of things about the crime, and you've got to kind of there's various different interactions depending on your character. You've got different ones, but it's kind of like draw a symbol on my back to signify how you died and stuff like that. And or mouth the word that of where you died and stuff. Various different like activities and things that can be done to communicate things. And there's like a Ouija board that has like groups of letters, so you end up getting like anagram type things where you're trying to figure out words and stuff like that.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. This is a throwback to Luigi's Mansion.
Yes.
You said Ouija board. Is there a Luigi board?
A Luigi board. A Waluigi board.
A Waluigi board.
A Waluigi board.
Is that it? Because if they haven't,
they missed a trick there.
That one's for free, Nintendo. Good job.
But yeah, it's a fun party game. That was quite good. I quite enjoyed that. I played another little silly game called Tinker Tailor, where
Soldier
it's a
Spy.
Different kind of role basing. It literally goes through the rhyme, but the rhyme dictates like the order of the players, and you get various different cards. You're dealing out. There's always two more cards than the amount of players you're playing with, and you can play with quite a few players. But then generally, it's a case of each different role gets a different power, and you're trying to get as much goods and money as you can throughout the game, basically. But it was a fun, silly little party game, enough that was actually, the sole game that I actually purchased on the day. Dragon Meet is a good fun event. It's always in early December, late November. It's a good one to look out for the year. It's a good, fun kind of event to pop along and try out some games and meet a few game designers and possibly buy a few games. I didn't buy that much this year. Like, I'm trying to keep a lid on things at the moment a little bit. I did have a fun time, and it was a really good day, really fun day out. And yeah, it was a good event to go to, basically. So, yeah, as I said, there's more pictures of that up on my Instagram if you want to check that out. Basically _Tim. So there you go. But yeah. But that's
Timstagram.
Me covered. Done for the week. So I'll leave the rest to you gentlemen.
Oh.
Timstagram.
Especially as I'm keen to hear about both of Dan's things actually.
Yeah.
Even though both on PC.
Go on, you saucy mix.
A lucky little sausage. Maybe I won't.
Lucky little sausage. Come on, Dan. Talk to me.
Talk to me. Well, okay, so I'm going to talk about Halo Reach. Now, you're going to go, all right, Grandad, that's exciting. that came out 10 years ago. What are you talking about? So I've played the updated version of it, the remastered version, if you will, which isn't quite the same level of remastering as we just talked about before. So I'm playing it on PC, which means Halo Reach is churning along about 4 million frames a second. And actually, it's quite nice playing it at a higher frame rate, I have to say. It does make it all feel a bit smoother, the gameplay. But, my goodness, it makes you realise how far we've come in terms of the mechanics and nuances of twin-stick shooters.
This is why we should have remakes instead of remasters.
Exactly. I mean, it's not a bad game, and I'm not saying it's a bad game. Halo Reach is probably my favourite of the Halo games. Does it feel a bit dated? Yes, it does. And I think that's a little bit unavoidable. However, it's kind of in that kind of same bucket of things. Like, what's another good example? at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, the first one, it's better off remembering that rather than actually re-experiencing it.
First one's still a banger. It's the second one.
Secret of the ooze.
So yeah, I mean, it's not to say it's a bad game, it just feels dated. And whilst, yes, it has been given a little bit of a lick and polish in terms of there is an enhanced spit and polish, there we go. A lick is just a lick is just a much less of a vagabondish way to achieve the same thing. There are, you know, you can increase the draw distance, it runs at a higher resolution, there are some minor graphical tweaks, but when you are... I mean, the original game was designed to run anywhere between 576 and 720p, and I think the original version on the Xbox 360 actually had changed its resolution on the fly to maintain a frame rate. And when you're running it at a higher resolution, the corners that were cut in the game engine, you know, whilst completely appropriate and definitely the right calls to make at the time, do become very apparent now. But it's still a good fun game, and you can't take anything away from that. And to Microsoft's credit, what they have done on the PC version is they've actually enabled a version that has mod support. So already you're starting to see interesting tweaks to it. I mean, obviously it straight up disables achievements, for example, and I think you get sandboxed into other people using custom mods if you went into multiplayer. But there's already, you know, lots of, you know, the initial set of mods were dumb things like, hey, replace the pointer with like a pizza or something, I don't know, or here are, yeah, you know, replace the loading screen with a montage of Tim Allen, because why not? But now there is stuff like, there's like a reshade pack, which is essentially a do-over of the lighting engine that's in the game. There's already mods to how weapons behave. All of these things are just the tip of the iceberg. And I think it's going to be quite exciting to see how the modding community kind of keeps refreshing not only Reach but the other games in the Master Chief Collection as they come out on PC. So I think it's a really brave move for Microsoft to do that, and I think it's really great that they did. So good stuff.
I have a question. Do you think it's a shame, and or do you think it's ever a possibility? But I think it's more likely. Is it a shame that we'll never see, or like not ever likely to see, a Halo game made in the Destiny engine?
Well, I think the Destiny engine is a heavily modified version of Halo. Certainly Destiny 1.
But is that something you'd like to see? And is it something that you don't think we'll see now that, you know, things have worked out the way they have between studios? Or do you think it might be more possible now they've split from Activision?
Well, Bungie have absolutely no agency on the Master Chief Collection at all.
No, but you would have thought the two studios, you know, 343 and Bungie, would have been friendly, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bungie have probably moved on. And, I mean, I don't think they're going to license the Destiny engine out Microsoft.
Just say, as a project, someone in Bungie remade the original Halo in the Destiny engine, or something along those lines.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not losing massive amounts of sleep over it.
I am.
Are you?
No, not really. I just haven't said anything for a while.
All right, fair
enough.
Kind
of how I work.
So Halo Reach is out on PC, and if you've already got the Master Chief Collection, I believe it already has appeared in your said collection.
Is this free DLC then, or is this something you got to pay for? Because I remember ODST was free for the people that bought Master Chief Collection at launch, but then they charge you something like £6 for any people that picked it up further from that point.
Let's have a... certainly on PC, it costs £5.
Wow!
Okay.
That's fine.
It's totally worth it for £5.
All right.
So Halo Master Chief Collection bundle is available today for $40, which includes Halo Reach. Automatically update the remaining titles they launch next year. Halo Reach
isn't
can
it
be...
on Game Pass though?
It is also on Game Pass, so pick it up that way.
But then I had an issue with that. I was like, oh, I could possibly play Halo Reach like last night, and I was like, oh, I've cleared off the Master Chief Collection, which I originally bought, but if I need to put that back on, the amount of space I need to clear on my hard drive now to install the Master mm-hmm. Chief Collection is 111 gigs.
Wow.
What you're describing there, Tim, is a first world problem.
I know, but come on.
I mean, you can just plug an external hard drive into your Xbox.
Yes, and that's something that that made me think of doing, basically.
Because you can get a terabyte external drive for fairly cheap these days.
Yes, and it's probably something that I can make use of even if we go into the next generation. Something that I hope they continue to do in the next generation is, you know, external hard drive support, you would have thought.
Yeah, you can get a 1 terabyte external drive for £40.
Yeah.
A 4 terabyte one for £75. I'm not on commission, just saying.
I bought a copy of Halo Master Chief Collection shortly after getting my Xbox One with the intention of maybe I should really give this Halo series another try. And I have yet to boot it up.
Good work.
I've installed it many times. I have yet to start it.
And have you then probably uninstalled it many times as well?
Yes. Yes, of course I have.
Excellent. Good work.
I need room. I need to play other stuff. There's so many games on Game Pass, Dan. I can't play them all.
I know. It's Game Pass is flipping great, I have to say.
It's a really good service.
My only problem with it lately is the big games they've added lately I've already owned on PlayStation. So I'm like, oh. But again, first world problem.
Yep, a little bit. Well, more than a little bit, a lot, really.
Yeah,
not
okay.
Lie.
Yeah.
So Reach is Reach. It's pretty good. I don't expect a massive remaster redo over, though. It is literally, it's got a shiny pair of pants, but it's otherwise exactly the same.
Would you call them
thing
space
underneath them.
Pants?
I would call it that. Nice.
Yeah.
So
me and Dan share this bond of space pants.
Space pants. Oh, Peter Dinklage. Space pants? Space pants!
I'll put it on the Discord.
All I'm going to say, it's Gwen Stefani, Peter Dinklage mashup. It's wonderful.
It's the greatest role they've ever done.
It is okay. A thing of beauty.
Yeah, good.
Space pants.
Dan, you've started Disco Elysium, and I hear so many really good things about this, and I'm really hoping it comes to console, or at least I remember to pick it up.
It is coming to console. It's coming to PS4 and Xbox One in early-ish 2020.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
I've literally only played like the first hour and a half or so.
Okay, first impressions?
Great.
Yeah?
Straight up great. Love it.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone says very good things about it.
It's a proper classic, it's a CRPG, a classic role-playing game. It's very much more, you're kind of exposed to a lot of the almost kind of tabletop RPG mechanics where there's a lot of, you know, literal dice are rolling for your stat checks, for example.
Charisma checks and things, yeah.
And there's a really, I don't want to spoil too much of it, there's a really good way in which you interact with the situations around you and the narrative around that is quite original and refreshing. And you're a bit of a messed up individual.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The whole game is kind of set in an alternate reality, probably former Soviet bloc state, as a lot of these dystopian things are.
As you do.
In a kind of a pastiche of kind of late 70s, early 80s culture, but with a bit of kind of almost like Blade Runner's the wrong reference because it's not as technologically advanced as that, but that kind of grimy, futuristic feel to it, it has. What I've played so far, I absolutely love. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but at the same time does have a really compelling story from what I've seen so far.
I'm really looking forward to sitting down with this game and a pad and paper like I used to back in my Amiga days and just getting into a good old story and taking notes when I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad someone else has to do that.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Otherwise, I forget. I go, what? Who's that? Oh, what? Oh, yeah. I suppose so.
Should look in my dad's attic for my old Amiga stuff because there are manuals and manuals that have like directions on them and hints and stuff that I've written down in the. Do you remember the back of instruction books? You used to get a couple of pages saying notes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Notes. I used to use those. You think, who needs this? Yeah, me. There you go.
Tall man.
He used to play a lot of adventure games.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fab. Great. you know, I'm looking forward to get back into it. It's really, really good.
Good.
There we go. Which is what you wanted to hear, I think. So,
I've heard a lot of impressions, and I've yet to hear a negative one. Like, since we had a friend of the show, Ed, speaking about it at our Rezzed content last year, I think it was.
Yeah.
Since he spoke about it in preview onwards, anything I hear about Disco Elysium is good. So, I'm really looking forward to actually getting my hands on this myself. Can confirm is good.
Can confirm is good, Dan.
Excellent, excellent. Guys, I finished Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I've fallen off that a bit.
Have you fallen order off that?
I have fallen order off that. It just started to feel a bit repetitive.
Ooh.
See, I really like the game, but I'm not sure I love the game.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am, Tim.
There's elements and times and elements of the game I really enjoy playing, but there's quite a few gaming sessions I've had where I've came away from it where I realised the entire gaming session I had for it was not overall an enjoyable experience.
Okay.
Some of that through platforming it, some of it through combat, but...
My biggest gripe is with sometimes the combat is not... With the combat engine can't actually really handle or doesn't give you the tools as the player to handle the things it's throwing at you.
I think a lot of it depends, for me, on what skills you unlock and when as well. Like, you can trap yourself by not unlocking the right skill to deal with an enemy that you had no idea was coming up. Or not necessarily, but like a skill that would have been very helpful to overcome that enemy. And so I think it's going to be one of those things that opens up a bit more as you get more of those skills. Do you think that was the case as you finished it, Coleman? Or
I think I'm two skills away from actually having a full house there. The stuff that I picked as upgrades usually involved health or health regeneration before I went for any big powers. And then the regular kind of force, pull, double jump, all that stuff unlocked for the story anyway. It was just more, I mean, some of those moves I found there's something where you can jump in the air and then hit the floor and do like a ground pound type move. I haven't used that once.
You know, I still haven't unlocked that.
Yeah, there are a few moves that I've gone through the entire game without using, and then when I look through the menus, I'm like, that probably would have come in handy if I actually tried to use that.
But I hear it's got a strong finish as well.
Yeah, it has one of the strongest finishes I've seen in a Star Wars game, and
in terms of the narrative.
In terms of the narrative, and well, I don't want to give too much away, but the. Because as you're going through, and this is the kind of problem I have with the game, but at the same time, I like it. When you get to the final level, it's on its own area, planet type thing. And when you go to there and you beat the game, if you then continue your save to go off and unlock new lightsaber bits and costume bits and ponchos and what you do, it then flashes up with, this is the part of the story before the ending level. You cannot repeat that level. I'm like, oh, but I really enjoyed that level and I really want to play it again. So I should have save stated before that, but unfortunately I didn't. Yeah, very, very strong finish. Really, really looking forward to a sequel and seeing what kind of improvements Respawn can make to the game following that. I won't go too much into it because I want to leave some of this for potential Game of the Year stuff later. But I really enjoy my time with it. It's one of my favorite Star Wars games in a while, and yeah, just had a real blast with this game. And I would encourage, I've said it a few times on Twitter and stuff, if you are on the fence about this game, if you love Star Wars, and you're like, I really like the look of this game, can't really afford it, wait for it to go into sale. They'll probably patch the hell out of it by then as well and get rid of a lot of the technical limitations. The stuttering really did get on my nerves, but other than that, I didn't really have many of the other problems that other people are speaking about with this game.
That's one of my other issues with the game. Like, literally, I stopped playing it last night because I had a massive hard crash that crashed my console. I was like,
I didn't have one of those.
I'll go now. Thanks. Bye.
And the other thing as well is, if you're sitting on the fence going, I I don't like the look of this game, but people say it's a good game. Just don't get it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, it's fine.
It's not like
no one's okay with it. It has sold seemingly well, and it seems to have confirmed the fact that they will be working on a sequel as well. So
I know. Wait, can we just look at this a sec? EA sold. They've got a single player focused narrative Star Wars game that sold really well and draws influence from Uncharted.
And also isn't hated by people in the same way Battlefront probably wouldn't have been
without its microtransactions. That's mad. If only they had another one in their back pocket ready to go. Mm. Just saying.
I mean, the one thing I would say is if the option is always available to you is just plonk down for a single month of EA Access Premier.
On PC. Not yet.
If you're on PC.
EA Access does not include Star Wars.
But Premiere on PC does.
Yes.
Yes. So that is an option, should that option be available to you.
If you get EA Access on console, you are going to be sorely disappointed if you're trying to get Star Wars, because what it actually does was unlock you a skin for your ship and BD-1. That makes it look a bit like the mech from Titanfall 2.
Oh, that's quite cool, though.
Only in colour scheme. It's the green, the Vanguard colour, they call it.
I didn't think it was going to make him 20 foot tall.
No. I mean, if he was a tiny little version of the mech, I would have been... I'm forgetting what the name of the mech was. But if it was
Do you know what I really wish? I really wish he occasionally let out a little tiny roar.
Rawr.
That'd be cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with it if BD did that.
It was like this. I feel like I've finally been catered to since this whole EA deal.
I had a couple of negatives in there, but I do like or really like the game. As I said, I'm not sure I've quite transferred fully into the loving, but I'll see how I get there. I've heard it's a strong finish, so maybe that will push me more into that sort of category. But definitely one I need to finish before.
Yeah, let me know when you're done, and we'll have a nice little fanboy talk about it. Good. It's annoying because, like, no one at work, I've got people that play games at work, no one is playing this game. I've got people who play this game outside of work, and no one's completed this game. I really want to talk about this game.
All right, we'll finish it off, Cole. Good. So you can talk to people about
for
it.
Should we finish it?
All right. Well, I think we can. In fact, let's finish up. We've run out of stuff to talk about, but I tell you what Tim likes to talk about.
And that.
Tuesday.
Everything.
He loves a Tuesday. Tuesdays. So much so, he's built a whole event around Tuesdays, or possibly board games. I may have got that the wrong way around. Tim, talk
but
to us about Tuesdays.
Know, each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston. And each and every week, we have a different feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. Now, we gave away a pretty big prize last week. Mega City Oceana went down quite well. It is a dexterity game. That's a lot of fun. That out. But it was a
big
nice
box.
Big prize. This week...
And it cannot lie.
This week, we have gone even bigger. This is possibly the biggest prize we've ever given away
a bigger box.
At Tabletop Tuesday. And that is saying something considering we've given away Dark Souls before. This is huge, a mega prize, and a really good game.
Is it one of those life-size chess games?
Better than that. And this is a game that you should definitely... Well, it's a week that you should definitely join us. If you've never joined us before, if you've been in any, this is a week not to miss. Prize is too good not to miss. It's a game called Catan, which you may be very familiar with, but it's a...
Even I have heard of this game.
Called Catan. Yep, Catan Starfarers, which is a reworking of a game that came out, I think, in 1999, which was, I think, the Starfarers of Catan, it was originally called. That's become quite rare and you can't really get hold of it. This game is a really big version of Catan, basically. It is huge and comes with a lot of bits, but it's a very highly regarded game. Looks really good. I'm really looking forward to hopefully playing it myself. It's one that's going to be available at Loading from now on, but it's also going to make for a really huge and really awesome prize, basically. So it's definitely a week to come along and join in the fun. All you have to do is come along and play the game in the evening and you get entered into a free prize draw to possibly win a copy of the game at the end of the evening. As I said, this week is one not to be missed. That said as well, the week after is going to be our final one of the year, and that is our Christmas special, and you should know that one's not to miss as well. So, yeah, two good, really good weeks coming up for Tabletop Tuesday. But if you need more details, you can check the top left-hand corner of BigRedBarrel.com, or you can join over the 1,800 people in our meetup group.
That's a lot of people.
Meetup.com, search for Tabletop Tuesday.
That is Tabletop Tuesday on the 10th of December at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London, for Catan Starfarers.
Landed.
Get there nice and early to get yourself a seat and play the game, and you too can avoid catastrophe. That's right, I'm back on the Catan puns. I'm looking them up again.
Oh, no, Colm.
Back on the Catan puns. Wood for sheep and that.
It's a bit of a catastrophe. That's what I just said. That wasn't much better.
Think you can say the same joke as me? No, you can't.
He got you. Yes.
Hey, I like to play board games while I'm on holiday whilst on the beach. I like to call it Catanning.
That one's bullsheep.
Oh.
Do you know what dance I like to do while playing board games?
I'm thinking...
The Catanga.
I was going to say Catanga.
Both work.
Have you got anything to contribute, Tim? Or you're not sinking to that level?
No.
The part of Tim's brain that puns is broken.
Yes.
from over 300 really bad episode puns. Hey, do you want some community feedback?
Hit me with
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right. So Famous Jamus on the comments section of BigRedBarrel.com put this in, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. He said, so last week, Tim, at 31 minutes 31, you said, is your favorite Pokemon missing Coleman? No. And he went, missing Coleman? No. You speak to the old man, fly to Cinnabar Island, and the water's full of them. He's of course talking about a glitch in the original Pokemon games on the Game Boy, which you could catch a glitch called Missing No, which would allow you to spawn infinite items of your choosing.
Wow, that is a deep dive pun.
I
right
read
there.
That and it brought a smile to my face. It's like, that is a deep pull and I love it. So thank you. Thank you, Famous Jamus. That was brilliant. Gabriel on Twitter... He said that he listened to the last week's show, and when we were talking about all the mate talk in Pokemon Sword and Shield, Pokemon Shield, dog with a shield for a face, dog with a sword in his mouth.
That's better. Right.
It reminded him of a joke, which is, why do American pandas hate visiting the UK?
Oh, I don't know.
Because they are tired of hearing the word mate back home.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You. That's a beautiful joke. You can tell your mum that joke. That's cute. Good. Dad's deleting the joke. I can see him doing it. Stop. No, Dan.
That won't stop it from happening, Dan. You don't have that editing powers of the audio.
Joke out. He's redacted the joke.
Redacted it.
He's name redundant. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Well, I think we're done now, aren't we?
Yeah, no podcast reviews this week, so that's everything. Leave your...
I think we're great. There's one for you.
Thank you. Leave your feedback in the comments.
You may be biased.
Nope, never.
Leave your feedback and questions and all those kind of things in the comments section on BigRedBarrel.com, on Facebook.com/BigRedBarrel, on Twitter.com/BigRedBarrel, or at BigRedBarrel if you prefer, and on Discord.
Indeed. Mm-hmm, where we do many things on Discord. And been playing a lot of Sea of Thieves recently, actually, on Discord. Having a fun time with it.
Jamie's officially lauded me into your Sea of Thieves chat.
I'm sorry, it filled up real quick, so all the cool kids were. Oh, actually, can we just say that we've gone through a week of news without mentioning that there's new Destiny 2 content on the way.
Oh, is it?
And without kicking the Stadia as well.
Yeah.
Oh, we were meant to do that.
Even though I was kind of meant to mention that because my friend did bring his round after it not working in his house, and then it didn't work in my house, so he's sending it back. So,
excellent.
And he was the only one I knew that was getting a Stadia. I would have been talking about playing Stadia this week otherwise, but no.
Oh, fair enough.
Was not meant to be.
No, I think Stadia probably wasn't meant to be, and that's a very apt yes. description of the situation, personally. Anyway, we're going to go now and let you have some of your life back. So, lucky you. So, thank you ever so much for downloading us. As Colman says, go to anything on the internet that involves words, bigredbarrel.com, and you should find us. Awesome!
Except for all the other bigredbarrel.coms. There's a couple.
They are. They're charlatans.
Sorry, not dot coms. Not the other big red barrels. Though there are a few.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the game developer Red Barrels.
Mm. They're all right, though. Yeah, we don't mind
they
them.
Made Outlast.
They're nice.
That's a fun game.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah,
indeed it is. Right. We're waffling. So we're going to stop waffling. We're going to go. So thank you ever so much for listening to us. And I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been sorry.
So will we, Coleman. So will we.
Aww. It's been mean.
So until next time, dear listeners. Toodle bye.
The podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.